All right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Biz, an insight into the business world of pro sports. You're with your host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And I hope you guys are doing well, man. Hope everyone is keeping well. I hope, 2024 has been a positive start to everyone out there, man. Whatever your goals are, whether you're a person who set New Year's resolutions, I hope you're still staying committed to them, because we're heading to that, part of the year where the whole resolutions thing starts to fade out and, either people start going back to old habits or, they just lose motivation. So I just hope that whatever you set for yourself, that, you're sticking with it and that you're going for it. This life thing can be tricky, guys. It can be tricky. I don't want to preach to anybody or seem like I'm talking down to anybody. But yeah, man, life gets real sometimes. It really does get real. But that is not what this episode is about. This episode, man, we're going to be talking. We're actually going to be paying tribute, to SA Men's Football. And, just the beaming beacon of light that I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just going to speak from my perspective that I got to witness while watching this AFCON. And again, if you agree with me, you're more than welcome to share your thoughts. Or if you disagree with me, you're also welcome to share your thoughts on our published version on Spotify for Podcasters, which, formerly known as Anchor FM, or on Spotify. Those two platforms allow, you guys to comment. So please, don't be shy. Don't hold back. If you agree with everything I'm going to talk about, in this episode, please make sure or please feel free to leave your comment and tell me what you thought, about what you saw from the performance of the SA Men's Football, also known as Bafana Bafana, because, I feel so positive after watching them, how the future is looking for them, but anyway, we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, okay? So make sure you do not go anywhere, and I'll see you guys straight after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. Right. I know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, there'd be times I would go through, feelings of like stress and anxiety, stress to perform, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, I really wish that I had had, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule a secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist, and everything you share is 100% and completely confidential. Right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right, that's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back. Hope you guys did not flake on me, all right? This is episode 135, man, of the podcast. And, you know, steady. We build and we just continue going, all right? So, yeah, thank you to those who decided to stick around to just, you know, listen more about what we're going to talk about today. And, before I dive deeper into today's episode, just want to give a further shout out to our other sponsors. You know, shout out to Nike Australia, Nike Corporation. Shout out to My Pro Team. And shout out to 365 Games. You know, if you want to check any of these three brands that I've mentioned, I'll be sure to drop the link to their online stores. All right, I'll make sure to share our affiliate link to their online stores, and you can definitely just click on that and see what they have to offer, man. If you like what you see, make sure you cop yourself a purchase. I mean, these are three very well established brands, so they need no further, you know, endorsement from me. So do the right thing. And by using these affiliate links, again, like I said, you would be supporting the podcast. All right. So do the right thing. All right. So in going into today's episode, man, before I start, though, as recording this podcast, I promise you guys, man, I'm recording it with a very heavy heart. I'm currently going through something just, in my personal life. But I think when I'm ready to talk about it, I'll definitely share it, you know, on the podcast. But, you know, while I'm going through it, it's not really a good idea. That's why I said at the beginning of the podcast that, you know, life gets real. Life gets real. Sometimes you think the road is clear and then you got to make a sharp right, you know. Curveballs are thrown at you. I'm giving you all, you know, sports metaphors from car racing to baseball. Yeah, curveballs are thrown at you, man. But sometimes you have no other choice but to still step up to the plate and still swing for the fences. You know, you don't have another choice. So, yeah. But yeah, when I'm ready to talk about it, I'll definitely share it. But it's definitely not sports related. It's just something that's going on, you know, in my personal life. But anyway, this is not what this is about. This is about us actually paying respect and actually paying tribute where it's due to, you know, South African men's football. Obviously, I'm not jumping on my podcast, man, to sugarcoat anything or to now say that, you know, this is the best Bafana team we've ever had, because we know this is not the best team we've ever had. But I think we got to pay our respects, you know, to this team of 2024 that went into the AFCON tournament and turned things around the way that they did. You know, it's really admirable. And it really shows, you know, the character of the men, you know, in discussion. Because when you think about that first game that they played, and they lost. I mean, they lost by 2 points. They lost 2-0. And obviously, when that happened, it became the, you know, same old tune. that you hear. People were jumping on social media saying, yeah, I mean, we didn't expect any better. We didn't expect, you know, we didn't expect much from this team and yada, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And the way that they turned it around in the second game to bounce back from a first loss of 2-0 and to win by 4 points. Granted, they weren't playing against, you know, the toughest competition, you know, being Namibia, but you still have to appreciate the character of these men to bounce back from, you know, an early setback like that, you know. And then from then on, for them to pick up from that momentum and just keep going on and on. And like I said, you know, the clutch moment for this Bafana team is honestly when they beat Morocco. You know, I mean, just over 2 years ago at the 2022 World Cup, Morocco, you know, they were one of the, I don't want to say surprise teams, but they were one of the standout teams of the tournament. You know, them boasting superstars like Hakimi and so forth. So going into this game, I'm sure nobody gave South Africa a chance. And the way they were able to, again, rise to the occasion, step up, make that step up, and make the nation believe again, that was phenomenal. You know, and for them, obviously, to progress through to that semi-final, to face off against Nigeria. I mean, we all know Nigeria, historically, has always been one of those standout and elite African teams. I mean, this can go back to the days of, I remember the first time I watched Nigeria was obviously in the 98 World Cup, when they had all, you know, those guys, superstar players. They had Taribo West, they had JJ Okocha, they had Sunday Oliseh. So they've always been a team that's always, you know, that's always been bolstered with superstars. And these weren't just superstar players playing at international football. These were superstar players that were also performing in the European leagues, in the biggest leagues of the world. You know, JJ Okochas and the Sunday Oliseh. I mean, these guys were phenomenal. Taribo West, you had Kanu. I think Kanu was at the 98 World Cup, yeah. I think he was at the 98 World Cup. So, I mean, you had these guys and, you know, and they were literally dominant figures in world football, not only at international level, but at club level, you know. So Nigeria, the culture of Nigerian football, that's the point I'm trying to make, is the culture of Nigerian football has always been of an elite sort of like nature. You know, so going into that semi-final, I mean, South Africa was still the underdogs. In fact, the whole tournament, South Africa were always viewed as the underdogs. But, you know, for us to play the way that we did, and obviously, unfortunately, we didn't make it past to the final stages. But fuck, man, yes, you gotta be proud of how these guys fought, you know. Sometimes, you know, in your life, you will be forced or you will be challenged and you will encounter something that's really going to take you to, quote unquote, a sort of like a game seven or to a clutch moment. And sometimes even when you pull, you know, when you try do your best or you literally play out of your skin, you still don't make it, you know. That's the harsh reality of sports, is that sometimes you literally can put your best performance out there, play out of your skin, play your heart out, and you still lose or you still don't make it. You know? But what I'm really happy and proud about is just how, as much as, yeah, we got knocked out in the semi-final, people actually applauded this team and they were like, listen, this is the best performance we've seen from a SA men's football, aka Bafana Bafana football performance in a very long time. Honestly, this, and I mean, for me, I promise you, after the first game, when we lost the first game, I asked myself, should I rather focus on watching, you know, the Asian Cup that was happening in Qatar, or should I keep watching the AFCON? But because I'm 100% South African, you know,
I just had to have faith that, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to watch the tournament. If not to watch Bafana, then to watch the rest of African football. You know, because being out here, man, in Japan and stuff like that, you know, with the professional club structures here, they are interested in African footballs. Sorry, not African footballs. They are interested in African football. You know, they are interested in African players because they do know when it comes to just, you know, grit and hustle and just, you know, playing with heart, us African players, we just have it. I don't care what sporting code it is, whether you're talking rugby, whether you're talking soccer, whether you're talking track and field, you know, whether you're talking, oh, I'm not really too sure about the cricket side, but any single sporting code where you've got Africans involved, you know, we're just all, we're always all in and we go all in. You know, so clubs and sports teams abroad, they love that. That's why they are always looking to recruit African talent. And that is why we are here, man, to be those intermediaries, to be those middle forces, to make sure that that happens. So in watching the AFCON, I had to watch all the other games. And to my surprise, man, these guys stepped up in a way that I honestly haven't seen in a very long time. You know, and those of us, again, who grew up in the 90s period, watching soccer in the 90s period and early 2000s, we remember how elite our South African football teams have always been. And again, just like the other African, you know, the other major African nations, like, you know, your Nigerias and the Cameroons and the Senegals, we've also all, you know, always had dominant South African players at club level. I mean, you think about the guys of, you know, the Sean Bartletts and the Mark Fishers, the Benny McCarthys, who were playing in the leagues in Europe. And these guys were stalwarts in these leagues. It's not that they were just there to make up the numbers. No. These guys were literally, you know, they were front and center. These were marquee players, you know, within their teams. You know, I just hope this Bafana team knows that by them playing this way, this is actually going to make the world notice again and create a demand for South African, for professional South African footballers with overseas clubs. That is actually one of the reasons why I was so satisfied and I was so impressed by this early 2024 performance from this national team, is because of what it represents. It's literally going to put South African football on the map and for overseas clubs to take notice again. Because I won't lie to you, over the years, the demand for South African professional South African football players has declined immensely, especially within the top leagues. Obviously, you will find your outliers. There are a few players here and there that have been able to get into the European leagues and play at a decent level. But generally, when you're talking top division leagues, they usually pass on South African players. They rather go for a guy from Cameroon, from Ghana, from Nigeria, because those national teams have been doing well over the years. You know, and obviously the cherry on top for South Africa now to go off and win a bronze against the DRC, you know, the Democratic Republic of Congo. That was the cherry on top to just reward the players for the massive effort that they put into this tournament. To bounce back from a loss and then go on a hot winning streak, you know, up until obviously the semi-final, and then to win the loser's final, or they don't call it the loser's final anymore. They call it the third and fourth playoff. You know, our national team still walked away with the medal. Yes, it's not gold. Yes, it's not number one, but that's not, you know, that's really not how sport always works, man. You're not always going to be number one. I just want to commend them on the phenomenal performance. I just want to commend them on the intensity in which they played with. The South African football team played with a lot of intent. You could tell that these guys were hungry. You could tell that these guys wanted to be there. You could tell that these guys wanted to do well for the country. Because I think, you know, I mean, when you look back at 2023 was a phenomenal sporting year. When you think of, you know, what Banyana were able to achieve at the FIFA Women's World Cup. I mean, when you look at the Springboks defending their World Cup campaign, going back to back as winners. I'm sure that made these guys, and I mean, they've been, you know, SA men's football has been the laughing stock of the country for a number of years now. So I'm pretty sure that these guys, all of them, had to take a real look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves that, guys, what the fuck are we doing? We have all the resources in this country to be the African champs, to be the kings of Africa. Because that is what I still believe. With all the resources that we have in South Africa, there's no reason why we can't be dominating African football. There's no reason why we can't be the kings of African football. You talking high performance centers, we've got them. You talking first class, state-of-the-art stadiums, we have them. You talking talent, yes, we might not be as physically gifted as, you know, our African counterparts from the bigger, I mean, from the from, you know, West Africa, North Africa and stuff like that. We might not be as tall as those guys. We might not be as, you know, big in stature as them, but we can get stronger. We've got world-class sports scientists in South Africa. We've got world-class biokinetists, sports psychologists. The other countries up north and West Africa and East Africa, some of them don't even have, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, gym equipment for their players to work out in. Some of them literally just have a field and a very basic you know, equipment or resources to prepare them for international tournaments. But what those guys have in those countries, when you're talking up north and in West and Eastern Africa, is they have the hunger to succeed. And they know what it will mean, and they know what, you know, they basically know the repercussions and the ripple effect of them performing at international level, is that it opens up the doors and opportunities for them to go play in other markets, thereby making exorbitant amounts of money and help them take care of their families. So for those guys, man, hunger is what drives them. You know, but that's what I saw from this Bafana team, and I saw a bunch of guys who were just tired of being laughed at. I saw a bunch of guys who, man, the urgency and intensity that they played with is something, like I said, I haven't seen in a very long time. I was impressed by the players' fitness. The guys were looking in very good condition. You know, so I just hope that we take this kind of momentum that we've built so early in the year forward, you know, because it really would be good to see just SA men's football amongst, you know, talked about at a very high level, amongst the countries talked about at high levels in Africa. That's what you want to see. That is honestly what you want to see. So yeah, I just thought, you know, I'd just make this episode and just really pay tribute and pay my respect, because, and I take responsibility, and I'm actually not sorry about this, but I have often in, you know, in the past couple of years, been one of the biggest critics of South African football, because, and I always said this, like when I'm talking to, you know, other fellow sports enthusiasts and other now sports agents as well, and stuff like that, I've often always been honest that I don't understand why, you know, my country's men's football team is playing the way that they do. considering the resources that we have, you know, considering the talent that we have. You know, so these guys took responsibility, man, and they took accountability. And shout out to that coach, to our new coach. I think he's also done a phenomenal job in getting these guys ready. And you got to understand, these guys had to get ready during the festive season. Do you have any idea how hard it is to stay focused in South Africa during the festive season? You know, I think if you, I think if you're from South Africa, if you've ever traveled to South Africa around, you know, December time, it's really tough to stay focused, man. It's just parties and braais and chisanyamas all over. And for these guys to maintain that sort of discipline and prepare themselves to play in a tournament earlier on in the year when they've just come back from a summer vacation, you got to commend that. You really need to commend that. Obviously, this doesn't fix everything. This kind of performance doesn't fix everything. SA Men's Football still has a lot of ground to cover to get back to being, you know, one of the formidable forces in world football. But we're on the right track, man. We're on the right track. I was really impressed. And like I said, I've often been one of the biggest critics of SA Men's Football or Bafana Bafana. But, you know, I just want them to know that they have my respect. They honestly have my respect. And like I said, hopefully with this kind of performance, it's also going to... I mean, even Japanese teams were talking about the AFCON, and some of them were actually mentioning how impressed that they were with some of the Bafana performances. I mean, I had one of the sporting directors of one of the clubs, because we were always texting back and forth, because Japan was taking part in the Asian Cup, the Asian Football Cup, the AFC, their Confederation Cup, basically. So we were always texting each other back and forth, you know, just a bit of banter, because I teased him when Japan lost against Iran. He teased me when South Africa lost against Nigeria. But the one thing he said in the end was he's impressed by what he's seen, you know, within the talent pool of that South African team. You know, so those are the positives, man. Those are the positives. And those guys, they should, you know, they shouldn't hang their heads. Third place, a bronze medal is better than no medal. And, taking into consideration where this team, you know, comes from, where these players have been, they're not losers anymore. And they shouldn't feel that way, you know. Like I said, I know this doesn't fix everything. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, especially when you're talking about the structures now in bringing the talent through and keeping this kind of continuity. Because the one thing we don't want to see is just this group of players doing so well, and then in the next 5 years, we're back to square one again. So I think this should really inspire SAFA, the South African Football Association, to really put the structures in place to make sure that players of this caliber keep coming through, so we don't find ourselves having to start over every single time. That, you know, so that's pretty much, that's what I think. Those are my thoughts. That's what I've seen from my perspective. Like I said, you guys can let me know in the comment section on Spotify for podcasters or on Spotify what you think. But congratulations to these guys. And I know not a lot of people are going to pay tribute because people, you know, they don't really support these guys. But But on the flip side, though, I'm impressed by some of the positive posts I've seen on social media, like on LinkedIn and stuff like that, from other, especially South African, either sports enthusiasts, you know, football agents and stuff like that, in how they've just talked about these guys in a positive light, you know. So shout out to you, Bafana, man, and just keep going, guys. Just keep going. SAFA, implement the structures to keep this kind of talent coming through so that we don't have to start over. All right. Yeah, so that's pretty much it from me. And a last tribute to to Kaf. You know, Kaf, congratulations on an amazing, amazing sporting product. The African Cup of Nations was, yeah, it was phenomenal. Just the way it was put together, the facilities around the stadiums, everything was looking top-notch and top-class. So well done to CAF for that. Patrice Motsepe, man, he's on one. He's on one. You can see the leadership within the CAF, organization is, yeah, it's top-notch. And it's looking elite. So congratulations to them on really putting an amazing sporting product of this African Cup of Nations and just letting the world see Africa in this type of light, man. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful to watch. And yeah, that's that. That's that. Looking forward to watching more international games, man. But yeah, this side, the J-League competition will kick off later this month. And yeah, so in the coming podcast episodes, we're definitely going to get back to talking a little bit of Japanese football. We're going to talk about the notable, you know, winter transfers. You know, all teams have been busy, you know, with friendly matches and so forth. So stay tuned for that. We're gonna bring back our segment of talking the J1 League competition. J2 and J3, you know, so basically the J-Leagues. All right. All right, guys. So I'm going to get out of here, man. And thank you for tuning in. As I've always told you, it, you know, getting on here and getting to talk about, you know, what I love, some of the things I'm passionate about, which is, you know, professional sports, is always a pleasure for me. You know, this is therapy for me, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode, you know. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. You can keep supporting the podcast, like I've always said. We've got our merch line. We've got our Japanese designs, Japanese-inspired designs. We've got other designs on there, you know, merch that we launched in December. So make sure to check that out. And if you like what you see, support the podcast, man. Grab yourself some merchandise and, yeah, let's get it. Let's get it. Let's go forward together. Let's go forward. All right, guys. So from me, Zila, a.k.a. Chester Mbekela, that's pretty much it for today. So I'm going to step on out as I've got to get my day started. All right. Take care of yourselves. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Otsukaresama desu, as we say in Japanese, which means see you next time. All right. Take care. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports, we lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.